Advent celebration this week is on joy, the shepherd's candle. The third candle of Advent is the shepherd's candle, which symbolizes joy. The shepherds were the first of God's people to receive the news of Jesus' birth, and it filled them with overflowing joy. They ran around praising God for what they saw and heard. Our anticipation for what is to come turns to great joy because we know God will come again to judge the darkness and spread the light of joy throughout the whole world. Today, we are called to experience and share joy for the light. Three lights dance on top of the candles, illuminating our Advent journey. Hope and love are now accompanied by great joy as we anticipate the celebration of the birth of the Son of God that is only 2 weeks away. God's presence in our activities and prayers is the reason for our deep sense of joy. Christian joy is greater than the joy the world offers. The world offers us joy in sleek designed gadgets wrapped in shiny paper. The world's joy lasts only for a time. Christian joy flows from memories of all the ways God was present in the impossible moments of life. Money from an unknown donor, survival from a severe illness or accident, and an encouraging word in time of despair, all are examples of God's presence in life's impossible moments. Add all those stories to the countless stories from the time of Genesis to today, and you have great reason for joy. In worship, we lit the shepherd's candle, which symbolizes joy. We're sent to watch for and live as signs of joy in the world. The aim for us this week is to search for the light of joy in others, in ourselves, and in the world. It must have filled the original hearers of Matthew's gospel with great joy to hear that the return of the Son of Man would not be some small event. With people spreading rumors about Jesus' return, it was good news to hear that his return would be a worldwide event. In Advent, we practice keeping watch for the one who made the world. The anticipation is building for the day that the light of the world will appear. If we could bow our heads for a short prayer. Lord, whose light shines in the darkness, have mercy upon us. Christ, whose birth gives hope to all creation, have mercy upon us. Lord, whose advent brings us joy and love, grant us peace this day. Amen.
I know all of you have recognized, if you've looked at the bulletin rather, that the arrangement of things are somewhat different this morning. Our choir is doing their Christmas presentation today, and that will include a number of hymns, and I've been asked to make sure that you folks are all aware that those hymns that are darkened are hymns that the congregation is asked to sing along with. There are two hymns that are mentioned there, number 286, which is the opening hymn, and then the closing hymn, which you won't find a number for because it's not in the hymn book, but it will be up on the screen. You're asked to stand for those two hymns when the time comes. I just want to very quickly highlight a couple of things in the bulletin regarding announcements. I want to remind folks about the Tuesday evening Bible study that we do here. It's now on hold until the new year, and I know the date is indicated in there, January the 12th, and we'll start up again. We're going to be doing a new study when we start. We're going to be working on William P. Young's book called The Shack. And some of you, probably many of you, are familiar with that book. Be a great time if someone was thinking about starting up Bible study or maybe reactivating themselves in Bible study because it's a whole new approach. And I vouch for this. I put my stamp behind this. We are an informal, non-judgmental group which welcomes everyone's input as we seek to learn from one another's insights. And so we would love to have other folks join us in the new year for the Tuesday evening Bible study. Now, the ladies carry on a Bible study too, and it's wonderful and it's great, and I certainly encourage you, you can't go there if you're male. It's discrimination. But anyway, another thing I want to just highlight, we are having a Christmas Eve service. I know you probably were anticipating that. I want to remind us about the annual reports because they're due on the 27th of December. So if you are responsible for an annual report, it's really time to start thinking about it. Also, I wanted to mention this, and it will be in the bulletins for the next number of weeks, actually. I'll simply call it our winter policy. I know everybody still has fresh in their minds what last winter was like. And we know that because it was such a stormy time that we had to cancel several times. We've had conversations, I think we've mentioned this before as well, that, you know, even now we could have a storm at any time. I know it looks wonderful out there today. It could be a totally different story tomorrow. But in the event that a cancellation becomes necessary, what we thought we would do this year, there are several things. We will put it on the AVR cancellation list, which means that you can access it with your computer or even hear it on the radio. All of the pastoral team members, that would be Keith Moore, Starlene Cross, Bonnie Colburn, will be informed. We'll put their phone numbers in the book in case you're wondering whether there is a cancellation. You can call these folks. It will be on our church website. Again, you would have to have a computer to access that. Often what happens as well is that I email out messages to everyone whom I have an email address for, letting them know that the church service is canceled. Weather is not always easy to make a call on, as you know. Sometimes we delay a little bit, wondering, well, is it going to turn out okay? But what we thought we might do is that if it works out in such a way that you can sort of get an indication that maybe a Saturday evening or a Sunday evening would work for a worship service, we may opt to do that. So if you're suspecting a cancellation, you know, call the folks whose numbers and names will be in the bulletin, and they can tell you if we've scheduled it for another day. The most important thing, and I really want to emphasize this, don't take any chances. I don't care if the service is on. If you have any question in your mind as to whether or not it's safe to be on the road, stay home. Don't want anyone hurt unnecessarily. So this will be standing information that will be in the bulletin in subsequent weeks. Obviously, probably about June when things clear up, we'll take it out. Just kidding. So those are the announcements. I want to say one more thing, I guess. Christmas time is a very happy time for many folks, but I hope we're also always aware that it's not always a happy time for everybody. There are many reasons why many people don't find Christmas to be a joyful event, and I think we need to be sensitive to that. Why I'm telling you that at this point is that we have been praying for a lady, Veronica Chesley, and I know that Janice is not here this morning because Veronica is not expected to make it even through for Christmas this year. Now, obviously nobody makes the final call on that, but obviously that's a family that's, you know, probably not really cheerful. So keep them in your prayers, if you would, please. I'm going to call upon the ushers to come and receive the offering at this time. Stand together, please. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Father, we delight in these moments that we share together each and every week. We thank you once again today for the privilege that is ours of gathering for these moments of worship, expressing to you, primarily in song this morning, our adoration of you. We pray now as we bring these offerings to you that likewise they would make that profound statement of our deep indebtedness to you and serve as a small expression of our gratitude for all that you have done. Bless us together that we might worship you in a fitting way. Lord, we pray that your presence would be sensed in these moments. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And final thing, while the ushers are setting the offering down, I want you to keep Barb Morris in your prayers too. You notice Barb's not here this morning. She's been on her back for several days now. She put her back out and it seems starting to come around. So keep Barb in your prayers.
Genesis chapter 11. Toward the evening, they heard the Lord God walking about in the garden, so they hid themselves among the trees. The Lord God called to Adam, "Where are you?" He replied, "I heard you, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." "Who told you that you were naked?" the Lord God asked. "Have you eaten the fruit I commanded you not to eat?" "Yes," Adam admitted, "but it was the woman you gave me who brought me the fruit and I ate it." Then the Lord God asked the woman, "How could you do such a thing?" "The serpent tricked me," she replied, "that's why I ate it." So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you will be punished. You are singled out from all the domestic and wild animals of the whole earth to be cursed. You will grovel in the dust as long as you live, crawling along on your belly. From now on, you and the woman will be enemies, and your offspring and her offspring will be enemies. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. And to Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate the fruit I told you not to eat, I have placed a curse on the ground. All your life you will struggle to scratch a living from it. It will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you will eat of its grains. All your life you will sweat to produce food until your dying day. Then you will return to the ground from which you came, for you were made from dust, and to the dust you will return. Genesis chapter 22. Then the angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven. This is what the Lord says. Because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your beloved son, I will swear by my own self that I will bless you richly. I will multiply your descendants into the countless millions, like the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore. They will conquer their enemies, and through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me.
Thank you.
Isaiah chapter 9. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light, a light that will shine on all who live in the land where death casts its shadow. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. This will be his royal titles: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His ever-expanding peaceful government will never end. He will rule forever with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David. The passionate commitment of the Lord Almighty will guarantee this. Isaiah chapter 11. Out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot, yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will delight in obeying the Lord. He will defend the poor and the exploited. In that day, the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard and the goat will be at peace. Calves and yearlings will be safe among lions, and a little child will lead them all. The cattle will graze among bears. Cubs and calves will lie down together, and lions will eat grass as the livestock do. Babies will crawl safely among poisonous snakes. Yes, a little child will put its hand in a nest of a deadly snakes and pull it out unharmed. Nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. And as the waters fill the sea, so the earth will be filled with people who know the Lord.
And
chapter 1. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be frightened, Mary," the angel told her, "for God has decided to bless you. You will become pregnant and have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can I have a baby? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby born to you will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town. Chapter 2. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. All returned to their own towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was obviously pregnant by this time. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the village inn. That night, some shepherds were in the fields outside the village guarding their flock of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terribly frightened, but the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news of great joy for everyone. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem, the city of David, and this is how you will recognize him. You will find a baby laying in a manger, wrapped snugly in strips of cloth." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to all whom God favors." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Come on, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this wonderful thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They ran to the village and found Mary and Joseph. There was the baby laying in a manger.
Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the
Matthew chapter 1. This is a record of ancestor of Jesus the Messiah, a descendant of King David and of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah. Their mother was Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron was the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Aminadab. Aminadab was the father of Nashan. Nashan was the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz. His mother was Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed. His mother was Ruth. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon. His mother was Bathsheba, the widow of Uriah. Solomon was the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam was the father of Abijah. Abijah was the father of Asaph. Asaph was the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was the father of Jehoram. Jehoram was the father of Uzziah. Uzziah was the father of Jotham. Jotham was the father of Ahaz. Ahaz was the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was the father of Manasseh. Manasseh was the father of Amos. Amos was the father of Josiah. Josiah was the father of Jehoiakim and his brothers, born at the time of exile to Babylon. After the Babylonian exile, Jehoiakim was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel was the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the father of Abiathar. Abiathar was the father of Eliakim. Eliakim was the father of Azor. Azor was the father of Zadok. Zadok was the father of Akim. Akim was the father of Eliab. Eliab was the father of Eleazar. Eleazar's father was the father of Matthan. Matthan was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. All those listed above include 14 generations from Abraham to King David, and 14 from David's time to the Babylonian exile, and 14 from the Babylonian exile to the Messiah. Now this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit.
Oh.
John chapter 1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. He was with God, and He was God. He was in the beginning with God. He created everything there is. Nothing exists that He didn't make. Life itself was in Him, and the life gives light to everyone. The light shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent John the Baptist to tell everyone about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was only a witness to the light. The one who is true light, who gives light to everyone, was going to come into the world. But although the world was made through him, the world didn't recognize him when he came. Even in his own land and among his own people, he was not accepted. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. They are reborn. This is not physical birth resulting from human passion or plan. This rebirth comes from God. So the Word became human and lived among here on earth among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. We have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son of the Father.
There just ain't going to be no message today. That's my gift to you. No, this was wonderful. It really was. And I thank you kindly, and I thank the choir. And, you know, when I hear Matthew, yes, wonderful. Yeah. When I hear Matthew up here speaking, I'll tell you what it reminds me of. I remember, I think it was our last men's group, rather. Keith, I know you were there, and you'll remember this. that we were commenting on Matthew, you know, he comes from another country and being able to read English as he does, you know, so well. And, he, you know, when he went through those names at the beginning of Matthew's gospel, you know, that's a torturous thing for anyone. And he did a marvelous job. He really did. Yes. And I don't know how many years it has been since he came from Lebanon, but this is what I remember him saying at the men's group. He said, when I first come here, I couldn't even order a hamburger from a restaurant. So it's just, you know, it's truly a miracle to hear that, and I am so, so greatly pleased. The title of the message next week, just so you know, will be called Divine Encryption. And we'll unpack that, and that's okay. That's good. That's wonderful. I think it's great that we can do those things, and the closing hymn next week will be Do You Hear What I Hear? And so there's no better time to practice that than now. Yes. Now to him who was able to keep you from falling, the one who was able to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority, both now and forevermore. And now, our Father, for the refreshments that we're about to enjoy, for the fellowship we're about to engage in, we pray likewise for your grace, for your presence, and for your blessing upon us. We acknowledge that you have provided us with all of the necessities of life and even beyond. We are mindful also, Lord, that indeed you have provided us with life itself. And now you make possible life eternal, everlasting, blissful, and beyond comprehension. Bless our time together. Bless us as we go. In Jesus' name.